right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we are talking about a movie that I enjoyed quite a little bit, even though most of my critic peers did not like it. And that is a movie called Tom and Jerry, of course, based on the classic Hanna-Barbera cartoon series. And with me to talk about it is Dino from the Huh podcast. And Dino also shares my love of Tom and Jerry. It's not a perfect movie, but we had fun with it because it's a Tom and Jerry movie, and we love Tom and Jerry. So we get into some of the movies we think inspired this new Tom and Jerry adaptation, let's just say. So that is coming up here in a second. Before we get into that, I want to remind you, as always, to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice. You can, of course, rate and review us over on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser. I know a lot of you out there didn't like this movie, but hopefully you like this conversation and you will give us a nice rating and review. You can also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And don't forget, we also have a Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus content from Piecing It Together, as well as Awesome Movie Year, another great movie podcast that I produce, and other stuff that I'm involved with, as well as my music career and just a big banner Patreon for everything that I am a part of. It's the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, patreon.com/bydavidrosen. So check that out, and let's get into this conversation about Tom and Jerry. All right, so this is a movie I've been looking forward to talking about because a lot of people don't seem to like it, but I liked it. And I believe my guest liked it as well. Joining me today is Dino from the Huh podcast. Dino, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Yeah.
I want to get into Tom and Jerry here in a minute. But first, because it is your first time here on the podcast, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about you and your podcast?
Okay, well, Huh podcast is my wife and I, and we describe it as where faith, family, and pop culture collide like a bloody train wreck. And we are two homeschooling parents who are Christians, but we love genre cinema, especially horror.
Nice.
And a lot of it has to do with raising our three kids who all have a different level of tolerance right now for horror. My youngest, who is 8, is my horror fan. She's like my little buddy. And she will watch anything with me. My middle is getting into horror. It's my other daughter. She is 9. And then my son is 13 and isn't a real big horror movie fan, except for zombies. But he loves anime. Okay. And we have a, he actually asked me to help him create another podcast focusing on anime where I'm kind of his guinea pig. Yeah. And he introduces me to anime.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. And I know for myself personally, like I've gone through like phases of my life where I was big into horror and then I kind of stopped, like I was like, I don't know, I guess was getting more into like drama and like, you know, classics and stuff like that. And then I would get back into genre horror stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, they might not like it yet, but maybe they're going to get down that rabbit hole soon enough.
Yeah, see, and I grew up with it. In 1982, when John Carpenter's The Thing came out, my father took me and my brothers.
Sure.
And it traumatized me for life.
Oh,
but it developed, you know, the personality I am now, I guess.
Right, yeah. Creepshow was the movie that traumatized me.
Yeah, especially that last segment with the roaches. But my day job, I'm a pest control supervisor for the state of South Carolina. So, yeah.
I would not survive that, I'll tell you. But so Getting into Tom and Jerry a little bit, I did not expect this conversation to start out talking about horror cinema, which is great that it did. That's awesome. But do your kids like Tom and Jerry? Because Tom and Jerry is such like a violent cartoon, and so it kind of is horror adjacent in a way a little bit.
Yeah. They minimal exposure, really.
Okay.
Because, you know, when we grew up, and I'm going to assume I'm a little bit older than you.
I'm 40.
Okay, I'm pushing 47. So, okay. Same thing. You know, we grew up, Tom and Jerry was on regular TV.
Sure.
You know, in New York, Long Island, where I grew up. But, yeah, there was like a two-hour block on Channel 11 every day. Mm-hmm. So, we just kind of grew up with it. And then, of course, with The Simpsons and Itchy and Scratchy and stuff like sure. that, you know, is a absurdity of Tom and Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even Cartoon Network really doesn't show it anymore.
Right.
And they don't watch anything on regular TV.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is, you know, on an app or streaming or whatever. So if it's relatively new, they'll hear about it. If it's mm-hmm. older, Daddy has to, you know, expose sure. him to it.
Right. So, yeah. And I guess a lot of the stuff the kids watch now, it kind of falls under the more like weird rather than violence, you know, violent comedy. You know, now everything is just super like detached irony and like really just overly strange, like the SpongeBob stuff and the things that have like really pushed that envelope even further, which is cool. You know, I like, as long as something isn't just straightforward normal, I could get into it.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I grew up and that was, you know, when I hit you up to do Tom and Jerry, it mm-hmm. was, well, I don't know if, A, many people want to voluntarily go into this movie.
Sure.
To analyze it, you know, with, A, you know, without even seeing it.
Yeah.
Or just because it doesn't have the quote-unquote gravitas of a normal like a film.
Pixar movie or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I grew up a Hanna-Barbera kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a, you know, my name is Dino. Yeah, it's my nickname, but I have a Dino tattoo. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up with that Flintstone, loving that Flintstone type thing. So, of course, I try to expose my kids to the old stuff. And they'll sit through a bit of it before it's not either fast-paced enough mm-hmm. or... Because even the Tom and Jerry's are 8-minute shorts.
Sure.
That aren't, it's weird to say that there's more of a kind of a story in an 8-minute segment, but cartoons nowadays are just very, you know, gag, drop, yeah. you know, and there isn't time for a narrative.
Sure.
Per se.
Yeah.
So, but like I said, they're getting into anime now, and that, you know, like my 13-year-old loves Attack on Titan, which has this giant story arc.
Yeah, that stuff's all story.
And it's like, really? Yeah, I can't get you to sit down and watch a 8-minute cartoon, but yet you can.
Yeah.
It's weird, you know, I guess, you know.
That whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's really interesting that you're saying this stuff, because these seem to almost echo a lot of the complaints. And normally when I do these Piecing It Together episodes, I'm not like referencing, you know, the critics and what the main critiques of a movie have been. But I feel like it's kind of important in entering this, because so many people seem to hate this movie so much. And I feel like a lot of them seem to be saying these things like, there's no story, or why are we following these characters that aren't Tom and Jerry? And I don't know. I feel I haven't watched Tom and Jerry in a while, and I loved it growing mm-hmm. up. It was definitely one of my, you know, if not my favorite, it was like in my top 3 or 4 favorite of the various, you know, cartoon series. And I don't know. I just feel like this is within the same spirit and stylings of what Tom and Jerry stood for at the time.
Yeah.
It's just nonstop crazy. And I think that's what I went into this movie looking for, is crazy, is cartoon violence, is cartoon over-the-topness, and just ridiculous characters and silliness. And there's a story throughout, but I mean, that's not quite as important as, you know, the act of seeing these two go at it and see all this crazy stuff happen.
Well, I mean, and face it, really, what is the story of Tom and Jerry?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's formulaic.
Yeah.
Tom is doing something, and Jerry tries to get involved and ruin it for Tom. Because,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Jerry is the antagonist in Tom,
yes,
and Jerry, through, yes, my eyes. And Tom tries to foil him, and keeps failing. Well, okay. So instead of 40 cartoons in 8-minute clips, we're getting, you know, a 90-minute movie,
yeah,
that has that one same arc. So we're getting what we always did get in Tom and Jerry, just,
exactly,
with human characters.
Exactly. And you need those characters to make it a movie. Otherwise,
yeah,
I'm sure people would be complaining on the other end of the spectrum if it was, you know, oh, we're just watching Tom and Jerry go at it for 90 straight minutes. That,
right,
people would complain for that too.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty more to talk about with those critiques along the way. I think we should start getting into some puzzle pieces here. Mm-hmm. What do you got for your first puzzle piece? What do you think may have inspired this movie in some way?
Okay, this one to me is kind of the, what I felt was the biggest puzzle piece,
mm-hmm,
is Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Sure.
You've got the meshing of the toon and the humans.
Mm-hmm.
And in that movie, it was very, you know, it was in the plot. They are cartoons. These are humans. And they're coexisting and... In this movie, it was more, not that they were cartoons, but they were Tom and Jerry, who just happened to be,
yeah,
represented as cartoons. It wasn't a plot point. There was one or two little meta cartoon jokes in it.
Yeah.
You know, like, what is this, a cartoon or something like that. But no, everyone just kind of accepted that Tom was this anthropomorphic cat.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry was an anthropomorphic mouse, and, you know, like in the beginning, when Tom is playing the piano, and he's, you know, his big ruse is that he's a blind cat playing piano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is what's getting him money. And when Jerry jacks that up for him, the one girl goes, he's not a blind cat playing the piano, he's just a regular cat playing the piano. Like, that's any less fantastic.
That's great.
I mean, I thought that was, you know, that was great.
Yeah. I'm just picturing my listeners just being like, Dave, I can't believe that you laughed at that. And you know what? Yeah, I sure did, because it's great. It's so funny. And it's kind of just like a really clever, like, play on the idea of mixing cartoon characters with real life, because,
mm-hmm,
the fact that they're the real people within the movie, it just, they don't bat an eye at the fact that these are cartoon characters, really kind of throws the whole thing on its head. And like you said, like, to go back to the puzzle piece of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, that one, you know, really establishes that these are cartoon characters with the whole, you know, Toontown and all that stuff. And so, like, it's totally baked into the plot and the story and everything. So it's a little bit of a different approach to it, but it absolutely is kind of the gold standard. I mean, I have a couple of other puzzle pieces that are going to come up along the way that, you know, try to do the mix of live action and cartoon, and maybe aren't as successful, because,
mm-hmm,
it's hard to top that. You know,
yeah,
it is just such a good one. I'll actually jump in right now with one, which is kind of the first thing I thought of when this movie came out. And the reason I was excited for it, and I don't know how you feel about this movie, but a movie that came out last year called Sonic the Hedgehog,
mm-hmm,
which I am one of the few, well, maybe not, because this movie was successful enough for a sequel, but it certainly one of the few critics who actually really liked it. I thought it was super funny, really effective. It's again, of course, in that case, Sonic is supposed to be like an alien or whatever. But it's again, there's, you know, nobody's batting an eye that Sonic is a cartoon character in that movie. He's this character within the world. It's more weird that he's a talking hedgehog than right. anything. And it, to me, the biggest thing and the reason why I like Sonic the Hedgehog so much is it mixes that kid humor of the cartoons, you know, specifically with Tom and Jerry, not so much. I'm sure there was Sonic the Hedgehog cartoons, but I only really know
the video games. There was quite a few.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. But it mixes that kid humor of that kind of stuff with adult humor, with the Jim Carrey moments and all that. And there's plenty of that within this. I mean, Michael Pena alone just totally is, you know, stealing so many scenes in this with just really funny, ridiculous, you know, comedy. So it's that mix of humor along with the mix of humans and cartoons that made me think of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
It's such a fun movie. And I'm really happy that, because, you know, when it first came out, I was definitely one of the only people defending it. But then everybody saw it and everybody loved it and audiences were all in, which actually, I should mention really quick before we move on to the next piece, I noticed that the CinemaScore for this, the company that rates people's, you know, how they like the movie as they're walking out of the theater, people gave it an A-. So that's a pretty huge divide between critics and general audiences for sure.
Yeah, I liked it. You know, I think the main criticism first was when the first trailer dropped for it. Mm-hmm. And Sonic looked like hot garbage.
Yeah.
And they did a quick, you know, revamp on that, and he looked pretty good.
Sure. You know? Yeah.
I mean, the only criticism after that was like, Sonic's arms aren't blue, or something like that. It was like, really? We're going to nitpick this, right?
Right.
I mean, you have Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik, but you're concerned that Sonic's arms aren't blue. I guess we all need a mountain to die on, I guess.
People find something. They sure do. Well, what do you got for your next piece?
Okay, next one I'm going to go with is from 1967, the movie based on the Broadway musical, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
Nice.
Mainly with the Chloe Grace Moretz character, Kayla, who goes in and finagles her way into a job interview, you know, pretty much just flat out lying about a resume and working her way to this, you know, middle management, you know, going up the tier, like in a matter of a day.
Yeah.
You know, How to Succeed in Business is about, this guy, J. Pierpont Finch, who has this self-help book, How to Succeed in Business, and it's about how to get in and schmooze, and if you start in the mailroom, you don't want to stay there, advance and move up and do what you can and do that. I also have a special place in high school. I was in a production of How to Succeed in Business. And
nice.
It was a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet. And yeah, that's a great puzzle piece. And yeah, to that character and to her little journey of sneaking her way in and then making the most of it and trying to stick it out and you know, just roll with the punches so she could, you know, impress everybody, even though, you know, she knows they're probably going to eventually find her out one way or another. It's a fun little journey for that character, you know, and I think she's a great young actress. And, you know, ever since Kick-Ass with the Hit Girl character, she's been turning in so many interesting characters over the years.
Yeah, and she has. And what I find funny about her character is Kaylee, if you look at her, she's the human version of Jerry. That's all she is.
Yeah.
You know, it's she's true. Sneaking in the hotel and playing her role. You know, Jerry had his little apartment set up with a, you know, Android as a big screen TV and all that, you know. And she's him. That's all she is.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, there's so many, you know, of the side characters and stuff that provide a lot of great comic relief. But if it was just the two of them going at each other, because they are kind of yin and yang in a way, in the same similar way that Tom and Jerry are yin and yang, that would also work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I like that puzzle piece. That's a great one. I'm going to go on to another one here. Not as good of a movie, but is celebrated in its own special way. Another movie that blends real life with cartoons, that is Space Jam, a movie featuring Michael Jordan, featuring Bill Murray, Wayne Knight, and of course all the Looney Tunes and all kinds of, you know, crazy, over-the-top, silly stuff that is not in any way trying to be anything more than a live-action cartoon that, you know, also has the cartoons in it. Also, the director here, Tim Story, really, you know, infused a lot of hip-hop energy into this movie, into Tom and Jerry, which was not exactly expected, I don't think. I certainly didn't expect that from the trailer. But as soon as this movie opens, we've got pigeons rapping along to A Tribe Called Quest. And from there forward, there's just lots and lots of other great hip-hop moments in there as well. So, you know, Space Jam, it's not the best movie in the world, but it's got some classic hip-hop in it, though.
Yeah, and the Space Jam, of course, is great. And then, you know, they tried that, I think, one or two other times.
Mm-hmm. You know, Looney and another one coming up soon.
And, you know, I don't know if it was a matter of trying too hard or, trying to catch that lightning. Like you said, it's not a great movie, but it's an enjoyable movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we've kind of run this gamut already with the Looney Tune thing, and we're returning for more, and why? But
right, that is the big question leading going into this new Space Jam movie. I guess we'll find out. There's been some interesting news leaks ahead of its release these past couple of weeks. I'm certainly going to see it. I'll say that, but definitely why is a very big question. I think on everybody's mind.
And going back, if you don't mind, you know, when we were talking about the animation style, and even with, you know, with Tom and Jerry and with Sonic, it was a cartoon and a 3D environment that were kind of set. Like, Tom and Jerry to me were two-dimensional cartoon characters in that regular world. Unlike, say, Yogi Bear. Or the Chipmunks, where they tried to do CGI 3D renderings of what cartoon characters were.
Right.
And to me, kind of came off a little atrocious looking.
Yeah.
You know, if you're gonna do the cartoon and human environment, just do it. Don't try to be too clever by half by making real world renderings of these characters, because then you just kind of, it comes off hokey to me.
Yeah, and you're alienating the original fans who want to see those cartoon characters.
Right, and you can't, you know, people, oh, well, it's not made for you. Nonsense. The whole reason you're going after nostalgia properties are for people like us.
Exactly.
You know, oh, it's for the kids. Who's bringing the kids? The parents are bringing the kids. And the parents are buying the toys. Let's face it. You know, this whole collector thing going on. I just bought the whole first wave of the Masters of the Universe figures.
Yeah.
Because I was a kid back in 83. So, it is for the parents. Let's not forget this.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right. If it was just the kids, it would just be anime and Five Nights at Freddy's or whatever. Exactly. It would not be Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, what do you got for your next piece?
Okay, I'm going to go, keeping with cartoons, I'm going to say Aladdin.
Okay.
Really, the whole, with the wedding scene with the elephants,
mm-hmm.
while they were marching, I just heard in my head, you know, make way for Prince Ali.
Yeah.
And the whole trying to play off being more than what you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pomp and circumstance when there really is no need for it. You know, with the wedding and the couple. And it's like, why do this whole big thing.
I think that's definitely a great one, and obviously, you know, it backfires for everybody involved, from the groom to the hotel management to everybody, which is to be expected in a cartoon movie. I think that's a great lead into my next puzzle piece. Actually, it's not a wedding, but another kind of big event that goes awfully, even though everybody wanted it to go without a hitch, you know. That's the first Naked Gun movie, where the queen is coming to visit, and it's just everything has to be perfect, but of course it goes horribly wrong. It's just a total disaster, and you know, everything just totally messed up. And of course, along with that particular, you know, element of the plot here, there's also a ton of slapstick in this movie, which, you know, The Naked Gun, I mean, you kind of can't get better than those movies, or at least, you know, the Zucker type movies in general. Right. But yeah, I think The Naked Gun's the best of the bunch.
Definitely. I don't know what more to add on that one. I mean, of course, you know, Naked Gun, you know, it would have been great if, you know, Reggie Jackson came through there. And
yeah, for sure. Well, what do you got for your next piece then?
An obvious one would be something like Mouse Hunt.
Sure.
You know, you've got your, you know, your mouse who is outsmarting, you know, the idiot.
Yeah.
In here, you know, there's really, I mean, that's pretty much, you know, low-hanging fruit as far as the puzzle piece.
Well, I think it makes sense. I've never actually seen it, but I definitely am aware of it, and it definitely seems like something that belongs in the conversation for sure. Yeah.
You know.
I've got one that goes right along with that, actually, and that's The Witches, both the original 1990 and then the remake from last year with Anne Hathaway. The original, of course, with Angelica Houston is much better.
Yeah.
But, you know, in that, the kid is turned into a mouse who is then running through this fancy hotel and they're trying to catch. So it's a little bit different, but still you got all kinds of hijinks and crazy, silly stuff in this big ritzy hotel and all these like snooty rich people that just, you know, hate to see this mouse running around, you know, and makes, you know, for a great setup for a lot of great, you know, silliness.
Yeah. And along with ritzy hotels and things running around, my next one was going to be Home Alone 2.
Okay.
Kevin McAllister is this, you know, little tricky guy who is finagled his way into a hotel, you know, putting on his giant, you know, facade. And the whole staff is trying to catch him and running around and slapstick and that whole rigmarole.
Sure. Yeah. You know, that's interesting. I haven't rewatched Home Alone 2 since I was probably like 12 years old or something like that. Home Alone is like, you know, every few years, like classic holiday movie, you know, but Home Alone 2, I should really revisit one of these days. It's been so long.
Well, I think anything directed by Christopher Columbus.
Yeah.
Is, once again, it's kind of formulaic in its own thing. He's kind of a genre all to himself.
Yeah.
But it's always this huge, chaotic third act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's Home Alone, Jingle All the Way,
mm-hmm.
9 months. It's always this giant whirlwind, Ms. Doubtfire. Just all these. Just everything flies off the rails, and it's a giant tornado.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, which they literally did, you know, in Tom and Jerry. This giant animal tornado, as he said.
yeah. And I mean, that's so cartoony and perfect. But you know what? Speaking to the Chris Columbus, you know, that style of movie, it's pure cinema. To see things, you know, just going off the rails like that and just constantly escalating and getting crazier and crazier. And that is such a fun thing that you don't always, you know, get to see anymore too often. So I think that's a great aspect to bring up there. And definitely, I think, fits with, you know, within what happens in Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
I'll go to another puzzle piece here. And one of the things I love about this movie is it's a real... it's a real animal lovers movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought of Wes Anderson's Isle of Dogs, Which okay. I think is a fantastic movie. It's a stop motion animated film featuring all these dogs on an island, and it really gets into their little like personality traits and quirks. And anybody who has pets, they know just how quirky and weird their pets can be. They all have their own like little tics and little things about them. And a lot of these cartoon animals in Tom and Jerry, aside from the main two, but you've got, you know, Spike, the big bulldog, and yeah, you got the birds and all these other the little side cats, animal characters. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They all have their own little like weird oddities and silly things, and that is very reminiscent of any dog I've ever had or cat I've ever had.
Yeah, my wife and I, you know, we had animals, you know, before we had kids, and we had this. It started off as a joke and has survived 20 some years of that our dogs can talk to us. But only she and I, not the kids, you know, and that when we're out, it was like Cats and Dogs before the movie Cats and Dogs came out, where my dog has this like internet network where he can communicate with us. And we had this whole thing in our head. And then when Dogs and Cats came out, we swore someone was like tapping our TV, you know, listening to us. And for some reason, it continued and still does now. Where every new animal we have, our dog hooks them up with the network.
Yeah, and I love it.
And we always said that, you know, we've carried this thing on so long that when we're old and going through like Alzheimer's, our kids are going to be beside themselves with the crap that we are spewing out of our head that we believe really happened.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're getting to the bottom of why the two of us like this movie so much. Because if we're talking through our pets, which, by the way, we do the same thing here in my household. We call it channeling their voices. And I even have an album of songs sung by my pets that I haven't quite released yet. It's going to be coming out sometime soon. But we clearly are animal lovers. So.
Yeah, my wife was a nursery, a daycare teacher for a while, and she would make up stories about our dog to tell the kids, and she would be the Lely Adventures, because that was our dog's name. So she would, and the kids would be like, can you tell me another Lely adventure? And then my wife, off the top of her head, would have to rip one off and you know, do it to entertain the kids.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. I love pets so much. They're the best. All right. What do you got next? I have one more puzzle piece after.
Okay. I've got one more. Okay. Toy Story.
Okay.
The end of Toy Story, when they're trying to make it to Andy's car with Woody and Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
That was, to me, the whole skateboard drone scene.
Sure.
Trying to get the SUV over to Central Park for the wedding.
Yeah.
That whole thing was just very Toy Story to me.
Yeah, I could see that. And that's something that I've talked about in other movie conversations before, about how a lot of, you know, especially in the Pixar movies, but a lot of modern animated movies, they tend to have these just like chase sequences almost. Yeah, it's like, there's like almost always one towards the end where they got to like really rush through the town or something like that. That just seems to be a thing with a lot of animated movies nowadays. I think kids just really like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that's definitely a good one. And I'll go with my last one. And I figured I'd touch just briefly on one of the big criticisms that we've kind of, you know, talked about that other people have of this movie that you and I don't really think is an issue necessarily. But the way that there is a lot of the story that's focused on the human characters when you're really there for a Tom and Jerry movie, I thought of the recent Godzilla movies where you walk into the theater, you want to see Godzilla blow crap up and destroy buildings and destroy everything, and instead we're focused on all these human characters and their whole arcs and all that stuff, and you're like, when are we gonna get to Godzilla, you know? So I feel like it's that kind of similar filmmaking style that leads you to incorporating all these human character arcs and, you know, really focusing in on the Chloe Grace Moretz character and as well as all the other human characters within this. But as we've been talking about, to me, I didn't really think that was a problem here, whereas in Godzilla, I do. But it's still, like, I think a similar way of changing the focus from the main characters.
Yeah, I didn't find it a problem in this movie, obviously. They were in the movie, the entire movie, so it wasn't like Jaws, per se, where you're sitting there waiting. And granted, Jaws is like my favorite movie, so I'm you know, there's something to be said for building the suspense.
Yeah.
But I think there was a lot of unnecessary drama in the Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, and then the second film, I heard, oh, well, it's just a bunch of monsters beating each other up. I heard that criticism. And I'm like, yeah? That's
what do you
kind of why we came here. What are you talking about? You know?
Yeah.
And people dump on Kong Skull Island.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Kong Skull Island was a lot better than that first Godzilla movie.
Oh,
Bryan Cranston. That one was a blast. As soon as they got to that island, it was just nonstop, you know, action with Kong and then the big opossum monster or whatever the heck that was.
Yep.
Godzilla vs. Kong. I see Kong with a battle axe. Okay.
Yeah. I'm in.
People are like, whoa, where'd he get that? I don't care where he got it from. It's a giant gorilla swinging a battle axe. Sign me up.
I get my second vaccine that weekend, and then I am going to see Godzilla versus
there you
Kong.
Go.
I can't wait.
Yeah, and I have a drive-in.
Oh, nice.
An hour, about 45 minutes to an hour from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually the first time I saw Tom and Jerry was there last week. Mm-hmm. And in between the features, it was Tom and Jerry and then the Croods part two that they played. And they played a trailer for Godzilla vs. Kong at the drive-in, and I got out of the car, stood out in front of my truck, like with my hands raised in exultation, going, yes, this is what I need.
Yeah, that's what we all need. Absolutely. I am so excited for it. Oh, man. Well, okay, let's do the finished puzzle, and then we'll get into some closing thoughts here on Tom and Jerry. So all the movies we just talked about were Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Sonic the Hedgehog, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, Space Jam, Aladdin, The Naked Gun, The Witches, Home Alone 2, Isle of Dogs, Toy Story, and Godzilla. So I think the first thing as far as wrapping this up that should be said, and this is something I think I especially got out of that last puzzle piece, our little discussion of Godzilla right there, is I don't think people know what they want. Because if they went into this Tom and Jerry movie expecting something other than a Tom and Jerry movie, you kind of can't help them.
Yeah.
That's what exactly. I got a Tom and Jerry movie out of
it. It's like, you know, sometimes you just gotta, where is your suspension of disbelief?
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge thing. Like when the Meg movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's dumb. It's a big show. What do you think? I mean, granted, the book was a lot better with the Meg, but it's a giant shark eating people.
Yeah.
What do you want? Oh, I want more blood. It's a giant shark eating a little person. He's going to probably swallow him. Why must you go through the salt looking for a seed of pepper to complain about? You're straining on a camel, you know, trying to, you know, strain out a gnat here. Knock it off. Enjoy yourself and stop finding a reason to complain.
That's right. That's right. What one other closing thought I had, and then see if you have anything that you wanted to bring up. The musical moments in this, I touched on it briefly about, you know, about the hip hop moments, and you had mentioned about when Tom is a blind piano player in the park. There's also that love song he plays for the girl cat, which I I laughed out loud during. I thought that was great. There's also that ridiculous bounce house rap song that they played at one point that didn't really have anything to do with the movie, but it made me laugh anyway. I just think there's a lot of great musical moments in this movie. And so I just wanted to point that out. Did you have any other like closing thoughts, things we didn't get to while going through Puzzle Pieces?
As a Tom and Jerry fan, as a nostalgia fan, I thought they missed an opportunity to play Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby. You know, with Tom playing an upright bass.
Sure.
I think that would have been great. What I loved was they did do several vocal cues from the cartoons, primarily Tom's scream.
Yeah.
A couple of his screams, which were originally, I think, Joseph Barbera himself. That did the vocals for that, you know?
Yeah.
So they did do it, and I was looking for those.
Yeah.
Like, come on, do it. It's like watching a Godzilla movie and not getting the Godzilla yell. You're going to feel a little let down. But they did those, which I really loved.
No, that is true. That I like I said, I haven't watched Tom and Jerry in a long time, like the cartoons, as much as I loved them growing up. But as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, that's from the original cartoons. Like it stays with you, you know, and that is great that they threw that in there. And to your other point, I will say, you know, just like Sonic the Hedgehog was a surprise hit, and you know, despite all the bad reviews, it ended up being pretty loved by actual fans, and a sequel has, you know, quickly gone into development. I wouldn't be surprised if we see another one of these Tom and Jerry movies, and maybe we'll get more callbacks to some of that, you know, other stuff that they, you know, didn't get to, like the stand-up bass and all that, because. It seems like people are enjoying this movie, and I am very happy for that.
Yeah, I'd definitely be down for a sequel. I mean, they even had a droopy dog.
Yeah.
Drop in the kennel.
Yeah.
So that was cool. You know, and that's something that if you aren't familiar with Tom and Jerry at all, you're gonna be like, who is that guy?
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah. But it's a good Easter egg for the fans. Oh yeah. Well, I think that does it for Tom and Jerry. Is there another movie you watched recently you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
I just watched Freaky last night.
Okay, yeah, that was fun.
I really enjoyed that one. I think Christopher Landon has a great feel for that horror comedy hybrid. And I think he does it better than a lot of other people. He doesn't weigh too heavily on either side.
Right.
In fact, he probably goes a little more horror than the comedy even.
Which is surprising for such mainstream movies that he's done. I mean, they're pretty mainstream when it comes down to it. And so it is surprising that he leans more horror, I think.
But yeah, because when you think horror comedy, you're thinking like, you know, Shaun of the Dead, which are great movies. You know, Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, stuff like that. That are kind of slapsticky and then have a horror element.
Yeah.
You know, a backdrop of horror. These are horrific things that have characters that know how to maneuver lightly in those heavy themes.
Right.
With, you know, Christopher Landon and stuff. And I think he's great.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Well, great recommendation. Anyone who hasn't seen that yet definitely should. But yeah, Dino, this was great. Thank you so much for joining me. Why don't you tell people again where they can find your podcast?
You can find Ha Podcast on just about any podcatcher that's around. We have a website, gangalley.com, like a gang in an alley.com. We also have a Facebook group. We're on Twitter at hapodcast.com. Be careful there because there's three U's in that huh.
Okay.
But our podcast is HUH. I changed it to make it a little easier to find.
Right. Okay. Well, everybody, check that out. Links, of course, in the show notes. And Dino, thank you so much for doing this. I am glad I was able to get someone on the show who would share my love of Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, I'm always willing to, you know, dig in the dirt with you. So
awesome.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Christy.
And I'm Jackie.
And we are Killer Fun. We explore the intersection of crime and entertainment every other week.
For as long as people have been communicating, they have been talking about who did what to whom, and is that socially acceptable?
Because the boundaries of society,
crime,
and entertainment have always gone hand in hand.
The more salacious,
or weird,
the better. From books and movies
to television shows and games,
we look at how life and art imitate and inform one another.
And we can't get together and not laugh. So let's face it, there's going to be laughing.
Killer Fun is available anywhere you listen to podcasts. So join us.
All right. So I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Tom and Jerry. What did you think of the movie? Did you like it? I know I have a few friends and connections out there who actually enjoyed it as much as I did, even though that is definitely the minority opinion on this one. But if you liked the movie, let us know what you thought of the episode. You can also, of course, rate and review the show over on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. I'm trying to get more of those reviews going because I like hearing what people have to say about Piecing It Together. So go and review us. We'd love to hear it. You could also, of course, follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. And I told you about the Patreon produced by David Rosen at the top of the show. Make sure to check that out. I'm actually recording three back-to-back episodes this week. Of course, I've only got a couple spots a week to get these episodes up, so most likely I'm going to have to squeeze some onto the Patreon for now, and that's where they will live until I have time to actually post them on the main feed. So if you want to hear these episodes, you know, while they're fresh, while they're hot, Patreon's the place to get them. So yes, check that out. So thank you, as always, for listening to the show. If you enjoy what we're doing, also another thing, a lot of times I forget to say this, but share the show. That is above the Patreon, above the rate and review. I don't even know if any of the rating and reviewing counts towards anything. Above anything, if you like what you hear, share the show. That really helps make sure this show keeps getting heard. And the more people that hear it, the more I'm going to do it. So let's close this thing out with a piece of music like I always do. And during the conversation about Tom and Jerry, Dino and I, we talked a little bit about how our animals would communicate. And longtime listeners of the show probably know already that I have a long-in-the-works project by my pets called the Pup Pups, which is a bunch of songs, some of which are sung by my dogs and my cats, and some of them are me singing to them. I'm going to play you one of the ones that's me singing to them. This is a song that hasn't really been heard by too many people yet. The album itself has been on perpetual delay for years now. It should have come out last year, but if it had, this song wouldn't exist because I just made this song in the last few months. So just think, the world would have a Pup Pups album without this song called Jingle Jangle, which is about our newest addition, our kitten Millie. So enjoy this song, Jingle Jangle. This is kind of an exclusive that you're hearing right now. This album, The Pup Pups, will eventually come out in some way, shape, or form at some point. But for now, you get to hear it here. So enjoy it. This is Jingle Jangle by The Pup Pups.
That kitten running around, that kitten going crazy, that kitten running around, that kitten is a baby, that kitten running around, we never know where she's running, but now that jingle jangle let us know that she's coming. That kitten got her collar, that collar jingle jangle, that kitten and that collar they go. That kitten got her collar, that collar jingle jangle, that kitten and that collar they go. That kitten upstairs, that kitten in the kitchen, that kitten on the sofa, that kitten on a mission to drive us all crazy, but we don't know where she be, but that always gives her away. That kitten got her collar, that collar jingle jangle, that kitten and that collar they go. That kitten got her collar, that collar jingle jangle, that kitten and that collar they go. That kitten got her collar, that collar jingle jangle, that kitten and that collar they go. That kitten got her collar, that collar jingle jangle, that kitten and that collar they go.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.